Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Dimes and Dozens podcast. I am Claire. That is Tolliver. We should theoretically sound way better this week. I don't know because we're currently recording this, so I don't know if that's the case, but we're learning as we go.
Sorry, baby. We're just rolling in the deep.
Rolling in the deep. We're a little podcast neophytes over here. But my beloved pal, Dave Schilling, offered us some really great sort of common sense advice, but we're not commonly sensical people, apparently, because none of it had ever occurred to us.
That's right, baby.
So I'm pretty sure if you just Google like how to make your podcast sound okay, we could have found any of this information.
Yeah, we were like Skype. That's good.
but because we're too stupid to do that, it's really helpful to have friends like Dave who are like, hey, have you tried this super obvious solution to your troubleshooting woes?
We love you, Dave.
We love you, Dave Schilling.
Dave's my fave.
Whenever we are prepared to have guests on this podcast, which kind of makes me like, it's like if me and Tolliver had an apartment, it'd be like, when are we ready to have company over? And the answer is probably never. but if we ever do have guests, I know that Dave will be for sure one of the first ones. I don't know about that. I have a laundry list.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't see. He does not sound like that. He is a way more like approachable. He'd be like, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, nice.
No, that's not a good Dave imitation either. I don't know. Maybe. He just sounds like a normal person. God. Fair enough. Who knows what Dave will ever want to do the show or if we'll ever be prepared to have him, but appreciate his help. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the fun things, Tolliver, so far about this bubble, besides just like the inferno hellfire that's happening all around it, is that it seems pretty unpredictable in a lot of ways. There's been, you know, a game or two at least here and there that have been like actually really surprising. There have been a lot of really exciting, thrilling endings to games that you maybe couldn't have seen coming. I'm sure people in Vegas are like, this sucks because I'm supposed to be betting on this. But one thing that I just want to toot my own horn for just a hot sec. Okay. One thing that was predicted by many people, but also yours truly, was that if Coach Bud wasn't willing to make adjustments, then the Bucks would not get past the Miami Heat.
Oh my God. I can't believe this is happening.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and I think I tweeted this, so apologies if someone's already heard this comparison. But I was thinking about, when I made my bracket at the beginning of the postseason, I had the Bucks going all the way to the finals. Yeah. And the reason for that is because just giving Coach Bud, who was, may I remind you, a Coach of the Year finalist this year.
Right.
Which is like preposterous when you look at what has ended up happening, but that's why you should be able to include the postseason in the awards voting. That's a story for another time. Uh-huh. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt that given the disaster that was the Bucks playoff run last year compared to how great their season was, that he would learn that you can't just do what does well in a regular season. Being a number one seed, what got you there is not the same exact thing that's going to get you to the end of the postseason because people are switching things up all the time. You know, you're playing against arguably one of the in the Miami series, you're playing against arguably one of the best NBA coaches of all time in Spo. And he's going to switch shit up, right? Like he's not going to just give you what he gave you playing them in the regular season. Mind you, Milwaukee had difficulties playing Miami in the regular season to begin with.
I mean, sorry to interrupt, but like Spo, like Jesus Christ, like when he was coaching the three-headed Hydra,
right.
That was the Miami Heat in the day.
Yeah,
I was like, he ain't shit.
Like, he ain't shit. You got LeBron, you got D Wade, you got Chris Bosh.
Yeah. Like, whatever, pimp. Don't nobody care.
Put some respect on that beautiful Filipino man's name. Because
it's just because he looks like a child, I think. That's the only thing. He looks.
I don't think he looks like a child because I find him attractive, and I think that's disturbing as hell.
What? Oh my God, I can't do this
just
anymore.
Just to clarify, I have publicly stated that I think he's hot, and I publicly disagree with Tolliver that he looks like a child, because those things are very incongruent.
That's for the courts to decide.
But okay, but I have a parallel in my own life to draw based on my foolhardy faith in Bud that he would make adjustments this postseason. Yeah. I realize this is what I do with men in dating as well. I say, you've given me absolutely no reason to believe that you have learned anything and will change for the better. And yet I'm going to go ahead and give you that benefit of the doubt and just assume that you have changed and will do better. And much like the dumpster fire that is this Milwaukee Miami playoff series, my dating life has also been a dumpster fire. So the lesson to be learned, kids, from this is trust no bitch. And wait,
but are you Milwaukee or are you Miami?
No, I'm me filling out my fucking playoff bracket and having Milwaukee go all the way to the finals. That's I am. I'm me. I'm an idiot. Like, I just really thought, and I mean, I'm not the only one who thought this, to be fair. Like, no. it was pretty wet. Milwaukee at the beginning of all this had the highest Vegas odds of winning everything. So, but I just really didn't believe that he would be so hard-headed that even if without making adjustments he lost one game, maybe two games at the most, that he wouldn't be willing to make adjustments at some point. But he's really going to ride the shit into the ground. And there was a press conference where he said, essentially, no regrets.
YOLO.
35 to 36 minutes a night is like the ceiling for what I would play Chris Middleton and Giannis.
Absolutely disgusting.
That is absurd.
You can't stand a stubborn man. I really can't.
Oh my God.
But you know what I will say? I'm insane for saying this, right? But I'm not counting the Bucks out yet. I know it's literally never happened. But the Bucks are a generationally great team. The only thing that might stand in their way is the fact that Giannis is a maybe for game four.
Tonight, which is airing tonight when we're taping, which is like yesterday when you guys will be hearing this. I will rub it in your face. I'm just going to put that out there. I will rub it in your face if I just realized how sexual that phrase sounds when I just
took
said
it that way.
Now.
And I was like, whatever.
I've been saying that since childhood, and only just now, I was today years old when I realized that sounds incredibly pornographic. But
wait a minute.
Neither here nor there. I will embarrass you and humiliate you if this airs after Milwaukee has lost game 4 of 4.
They're not going to lose game 4.
You don't think they're going to, even without Giannis?
Oh, right. I completely forgot about the Giannis premise. But if they don't have Giannis, they're absolutely going to lose. If they have him, they're going to take, you know.
I could see them going to 6. I could see them winning the next couple games if they get their shit together and Bud agrees to make adjustments. But I don't think Miami is letting them get out of the series alive. I just don't think so. Like, because ultimately, you have to build these habits during the regular season to some degree, even if you do switch things up in the postseason. And Milwaukee does not defend the three. They just flat out refuse to do that. So I don't really see how they're all of a sudden going to turn on that higher gear of defense in a game 5 or 6 against a great three. I mean, Miami's been shooting lights out for the most part. And they have some of the best three-point shooters currently in the league on their roster right now. And they play at a different pace than Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They play harder.
It's so much fun to watch. I love so much watching fun. Miami play. Oh my God. Dude, remember yesterday when I was
Chef's kiss. I love him.
And Jimmy, I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, tragically. Well, lately, tragically. Watching Jimmy come up from nothing, like such a late draft pick and whatnot, and turning into a superstar, and then turning into a complete asshole. Like, it's so hard rooting for somebody who's clearly so hateable, but I really just am. And I want the best for him.
Hateable.
I want the best for him and everyone he loves, you know?
I really do. I mean, I don't think he's hateable. I don't know. Maybe this is like a hot take or something, but like, I think he's always been right. All of the times he's gotten in trouble for being like kind of a stick in the mud or whatever, I think he's been 100% right. I mean, this is going to get me a lot of flack in Minnesota, I'm sure, but I think he was 1000% right about the Wolves. I think that Kat and Wiggins clearly hadn't developed that like killer mentality, and neither of them appear to have it still, you know?
What do you mean? Wiggins is a superstar, okay?
I mean, I think Kat is an incredible like generational talent, but I think that especially when Jimmy Butler was there, he had kind of been, he was, you know, number one pick. He had kind of been handed everything with a silver spoon in the league. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy is someone who, you know, wasn't heavily recruited, has really had to claw his way up from the bottom. And he just has that like killer instinct, like dog mentality that's just like, I am going to claw my way up to the top and you cannot stop me. And I don't see that killer instinct even in anyone on the currently constructed Wolves roster.
Or on the Sixers.
And the thing is, actually, like, I think that there are people on the Sixers, like, I think, and you know how much I love Matisse Thybulle, but, like, mm-hmm. I think that he has that to some degree. Like, he did all 4 years of college. Like, I think he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well. Mm-hmm. And he is an amazing defender and, like, works really hard. But I think that Jimmy ended up on two teams that were a lot of sort of, like, not that these people came from like privilege or anything like that, because that's not necessarily the case, but just the vibe of like daddy gave me whatever I wanted kind of vibes.
The process, baby.
Right. On those two. And like I get those kind of vibes from Ben Simmons. I get those kind of vibes from Karl Anthony Towns. And that's just not Jimmy Butler, right? He's just like a fucking workhorse, like I will win by any means necessary kind of player. And I think Miami is the perfect home for him. And yeah. I think that he played on two Tibbs teams where he got ran into the ground for a ceiling that was the floor, basically. And then he was in Philly where, first of all, their coach sucks, as we all know now. I mean, Brett Brown is fired at this point.
Yeah.
So he was playing for Brett Brown, who ultimately I don't think a very good coach. And then he was surrounded by people who just don't have that fight in them that he has necessarily. I mean, you know, I think JJ Redick is great. Like there are definitely were players on that team that are totally capable of being part of a championship team. Right. But I don't think that it's, you know, in that cliche of in a relationship where it's like, it's not you, it's me. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the case of Jimmy Butler, he could have said, it's not me, it's you. And been accurate. Like, I think that he just wasn't given the right setting to be his best Jimmy Butler self until Miami. And I think Miami, the second that he announced he was going to Miami, I was like, this is so perfect. It's such a perfect home for him. Like the Heat work ethic, like Miami Heat culture, as you know, as we've heard a million times, Heat culture is Jimmy Butler culture. They are one and the same.
I was very, very skeptical just because like, of all the high profile targets that were out there, there were options. I just thought Miami was like a second tier option, and I think maybe some of that is just my bias about the city of Miami,
or just the state of Florida.
Just the which state is of Florida.
Totally fair.
I was like, don't go over there, play it. Come on, pimp.
You see him playing dominoes like the first week he got to Miami. They were like shooting behind the scenes footage, and he was just on the street with like these old like Cuban men in Miami playing dominoes.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, I really think that it's like the perfect fit for him. And the thing is, everyone thought the same thing that you're talking about, which is like, you say you're a winner and you say you want to win a championship, but then you go to this team that seems like in no way, shape or form anywhere near winning a championship, like you're full of shit. But as we see, the special thing to me about Jimmy Butler and ultimately the special thing about the Miami Heat is you can never count them out, right? Yeah. Like, you could send them to anywhere. It's sort of like the Chris Paul in Oklahoma City situation. It's like, okay, send me to the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Send me to the fucking sticks to die. I will claw my way back up and fight and give you a fucking run for your money in the playoffs. And I think that that's kind of emblematic of who Jimmy Butler is, but it's also emblematic of who Spo and the Miami Heat are.
As much as I find the Clippers to be a human Xanax, I would be so, so excited to watch the Clippers play the Heat in the finals. That'd
be a really fun matchup. That's like a really well matched.
It's a great matchup.
I don't think that's going to happen because I refuse to manifest a world in which LeBron doesn't make it to the finals this year.
I know. But they lost the first game, so everyone's like, oh, they're it. That's it.
I mean, listen.
Small ball, baby.
The Rockets were never going to be a good matchup, I don't think, for them. Like, it's sort of like that thing where it's like you meet someone and it's like everything you're really good at, they're not, but everything mm-hmm. you wish you were good at, they are. And yeah. I feel like that sort of them is like, yeah, they don't have the size of the Lakers, you know, but they do have the shooting, which is like the Lakers' Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Lakers' defense, but they have like they're I feel like first of all they've been their defense was Rockets' defense was pretty good in mm-hmm. the first game, and their offense is so much more productive than the Lakers' offense that it's like it's sort of like that yin and yang, like that's what makes it a weird matchup, I think, for the Lakers. Is like it's the exact the Rockets are good at all the exact things that the Lakers need work on.
I'm still going to say Lakers in six on this one.
Yeah,
just because the Rockets for me are erratic, and yeah. I mean I guess the Lakers are too in some ways, but just way more erratic, just unpredictable. At the same time, I do think the Lakers versus the Clippers gives me night sweats. It makes me really nervous,
sweaty. but in a really exciting way.
Yeah. Ooh, in like a first date.
Put the feeling directly in my veins kind of way. But I agree with you about the Lakers in six, because I think ultimately for the Rockets to win this series, everything would have to go in their favor. Because like you're not going to get four games in a row with a performance like you got from AD and LeBron in game
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Yep.
And additionally, James Harden has been and Russell Westbrook for that matter have been super hot and cold historically in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So the chances that you're going to get four really bad LeBron and AD games coupled with four really good Harden and Westbrook games seems not mathematically impossible, but highly, highly, highly unlikely.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I'm like pushes up glasses up nose. Like it is not mathematically impossible per se, but it is unlikely. Tolliver's like, that shit's not going to happen.
Nah, player.
We give you, you know, the full spectrum of no, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of absolutely not. Okay. So I know we were talking about the Miami Heat, about, you know, how they've sort of like overperformed, at least for people's expectations of them this season. Here's just like a wild thought. And you tell me if you think it's like impossible, sort of possible, likely, whatever. Miami Heat 2020 NBA champions. What do you think of that?
I'm gonna say it's likely. I'm gonna say it's likely.
Really?
I'm swept up in the hype machine, and I'm also swept up in my like love of Jimmy Butler.
And like hyperbolic last 20 minutes of this podcast.
And I like want Jimmy Butler to get what he wants so badly, which
that
is
that would
the title.
Be such a cool story, right?
Yeah.
Like we have this crazy random like bubble season where there's no home court advantage or whatever, and like the fucking what were they like the 4 or 5 seed in the East mm-hmm. wins it all. Like, here's the thing. Like, if you told me the Miami Heat are the champions this year, I would say that doesn't sound possible. But if you break it down, if you break it down by literally who they're going to face each step of the way,
exactly. Yep.
They don't face a team that I think it's impossible for them to beat. So by that logic, then it's possible because like, okay, the series with the Bucks. I feel like it's a wrap. Miami's going to win this series. I don't see a way out for the Bucks unless they completely change everything about their coaching, the way they play basketball. Like, it's just not going to happen.
The way they dress. Yeah.
Then the next round, they're either going to face the Celtics or the Raptors. I feel like Miami could take either of those teams in a 7-game series. I could see either of I think it's a toss-up with those three, basically. I think any of those three teams could beat any of the other two in a 7-game series, depending. But yeah. But Miami has just as good of a chance, I think, as the Celtics or the Raptors to come out of the East. Like, I could totally see that. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to who they're going to face in the West, really it's two teams, maybe three. It's either going to be the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Rockets. Ironically, of all those three, I could see, you know, the Rockets giving the Heat some problems just because they both are great 3-point shooters. They're both sort of like more fast paced, spacing, all that stuff. The Clippers are deeper than the Heat, so I think that they would give them problems like that. But the Heat have like a heart that the Clippers just don't have.
Yeah.
You know? And so like in 7 games, I could see it. And the Lakers, we already talked about all of the ways that they're vulnerable. The Heat are again, have everything to offer that the Rockets have in terms of like finding those vulnerabilities of the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a team left standing after this round that I don't think it's possible for them to beat.
Yeah. Really. I mean, it really for me is just the Clippers. The Clippers are the only team I can see really, really pressing.
Routing them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the depth.
Yeah.
I mean, because ultimately you need, you know, four, sort of like we were talking about with Harden, you need four like really great Jimmy Butler performances. Mm-hmm. You need four games where at least one of your great 3-point shooters show up.
Yeah.
And so when you have, you're facing the depth of like a Clippers team, they have a few, in theory, maybe not so much in the bubble, but in theory, they have a few options to fall back on if it's not a Paul George night, if it's not a Kawhi night, you know. Basically, if it's not a Paul George night or a Kawhi night, they have almost the entire Clippers roster that got them to the playoffs last year without either of those people.
Yeah.
To fall back on, which is crazy when you think about it. Like, they retained most of their roster that got them to the 8th seed last year. Mm-hmm. And then added two probably Hall of Fame players in the offseason, which is why we all were like, mathematically, this should probably guarantee them a championship. But as we've learned throughout the course of the season, if you clearly don't really like each other and like playing with each other, it makes it a lot more difficult to win.
I deeply just want this Nuggets series to be over. I just
oh my god, just put us out of our misery. I understand. Jamal Murray has been incredible. Jokic was actually amazing last night. He was really great. But like, we know, right?
We know
they won a game. They're gonna get gentlemen swept. Maybe it'll go to six.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just delaying the inevitable. This, I have been waiting for this LA versus LA Western Conference finals all year long.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
For the love of God.
I don't want to wait anymore.
I don't want to watch Russ scream at babies in the auditorium.
It's like the Dawson's Creek theme song. Like, I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be?
Yeah.
Which LA team is going to the finals?
Yeah, that's what they say at the end of the song.
Yeah, it's like when Paula Cole said, which LA team is going to the finals, I felt that.
Which LA team
is going to the finals? I want to know. Yeah.
It was beautiful. What a moment.
That's why you don't give musicians a podcast, because we'll abuse that privilege.
We were in the right key. We were.
Were we? Were we?
Wait. Something like that. You get it.
We just like watch our listenership just like plummet. I'm like, I can't figure out why after 24 minutes of episode 3, we just had no more listeners.
We get canceled.
I'm like, you can't cancel us. We're self-published. You can't legally do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of heat,
this
is a beautiful transition. I know last year, oh my God, last week, it feels like last year, it was so long ago. I know last week I said, I was like, you know, that was a great transition, but it pales in comparison to this one, which was your idea. So shout out
to you.
Speaking of heat, it's hot as hell in LA. That's it. That's the whole transition.
That's it. End of the show. Goodbye.
But it's a great one. It's currently 111 degrees where I live.
I'm like a penny just fucking melting on the sidewalk right now.
Wait, do pennies melt?
I don't know, girl.
I don't think they do. I think that they get really hot.
But you can picture it, you know?
But you know what I'm saying.
you can see it when I said it.
Who was that voice?
I don't know. It just comes. It's like my uncle or something.
It sounded
just
Mr. T.
All right. Yeah. That's pretty
good. I pity the fool who doesn't know that a penny can melt on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's really super hot and I'm dying. And, you know, we have to turn the AC off
for
this. So we're doing this for you, baby.
We take this very seriously, as you can tell by literally nothing that has happened so far. We take it very seriously. Also, I just want to point out, I have a few friends that live in the desert, whether it's like Joshua Tree or like in Arizona. Ugh. And every time I post complaining about the weather, my inbox is like 3 or 4 messages that's like, you think that's hot? And it's like, listen, we all understand. Yes, you live somewhere that's hotter more days of the year. That's true. That's true. I can't deny that. You're probably also tougher and better equipped to deal with that heat. You know what? You win. You are tougher. You're better. Yeah. You have better quality air conditioning. However, by any metric, 109 degrees is fucking hot.
It is.
It's hot. It's hot anywhere. It's hot in Arizona.
You don't get a medal
in the
for
desert.
Suffering. Yeah.
No. Hey, I live somewhere that's supposed to have a Mediterranean climate, but then global warming happened.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this shit. Okay. I didn't sign up for it to be. Last night I looked at my fucking phone before I went to bed and it was like 10:30, 11 at night, 93 degrees.
Mm.
93 degrees.
A cool 93.
I didn't sign up for that shit, dude.
I tossed and turned. I did. And I have AC.
I had the AC blasting and I slept like a fucking baby. But nice.
It is still the horniest summer of our lives being in quarantine. But who would you risk your life to hook up with in these hot, hot times?
Well, it's the risking your life part is the COVID part, not the heat part.
Mine was the melting part. I completely forgot about COVID and was like, what would happen if I just burned up? Like, who's it worth risking my life for? But you know what?
I'm currently celibate for that reason because yeah. There is no D currently available in my life that is worth risking an upper respiratory virus for.
Yeah. You don't want that.
I don't want that. Ain't nobody got time for that. But if I was going to risk it for anyone, it would be Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. Did not see that coming.
I was watching the Celtics. He's been one of my like top NBA crushes for a while. And I was watching the Celtics game last night. And I was just like, what a fucking specimen. Like, truly, he's so smart.
Yeah.
So handsome.
Kitty.
Great style. Absolutely. I mean, the fact that he's good at basketball is cool. But like, that's not a deal breaker or a maker for me.
Yeah.
The height is helpful.
as the resident bisexual, I get to make two choices. Mm. So that's exciting.
Bisexual privilege.
Bisexual privilege, baby.
Like that shit.
We had a march last week, so I get to do this.
Yes.
Winston Duke from This Is
Ooh.
Us.
Yeah.
Or not This Is Us, from Us, rather.
Yeah. Okay. There's no one like that hot on This Is Us.
There's not. Not one person. The dead dad is kind of hot. But anyway, and then Ashley Graham would be my spoiler. Second choice. Sorry, everyone. He dies.
He spoiled the Sixth Sense for everyone. You're like, he's been dead the whole time.
My friend played a pianist on an episode where Mandy Moore is in like old lady makeup.
She's really hot. I take that back. She's really fucking hot.
I don't know.
You don't think she's the hottest person on This Is Us?
Oh gosh, no! I'd give it to the black dude, and it starts with an S.
Sterling.
Sterling, yes. Thank you.
Yes, he's very handsome. But I mean, like, who am I more attracted to? Yes, but just as far as just like objectively looking at their physical beauty, I feel like Mandy Moore is like one of the prettiest people ever.
What if they made a sequel to A Walk to Remember where she was like, I didn't die. And then she came back and she was just like taking vengeance.
She had just been collecting like life insurance the whole time.
She's a multimillionaire and she's out for revenge, baby.
I mean, if there's ever been a year for that sequel, it's definitely this year. Wait, who was the second choice you had that you would risk COVID and heat stroke for?
People, Ashley Graham, she's not, you know, whatever. Ashley Graham, I think she's the hottest freaking person on earth.
Babe. Oh my god, ow.
Absolute babe.
I'll let you have that squeal just because she is a babe.
Yeah.
But my hearing, I just lost at least 3 decibels of hearing.
That was my goal. Oh. Walk to Remember, part two, baby.
Then next time you scream, I won't even hear it. It actually was really thoughtful of you. Thank you.
I was just preparing it, yeah.
Ashley Graham is a babe. Here's the thing. I think of her in the category of sort of like influencer. I know she's not. I know she's like a professional model and she's she has like real jobs and stuff. But
not right now, she doesn't.
But nobody does. But like she's too online for me to find them hot. Someone needs to be a little bit mysterious.
Wow, I like that.
See what I'm saying? Good. Like, I don't want to like know what my celebrity crush had for breakfast. I want to wonder.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think Mandy Moore had for breakfast?
Definitely something macrobiotic.
Ugh.
Probably like a smoothie.
I think just like a banana that's just barely ripe.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
I didn't make that choice. She did.
It's, you know what? You know what's funny about that? So I had almond butter toast with banana on it for breakfast this morning. Mm. And the banana was ripe. It was for sure ripe, but it wasn't like when I have banana on toast, I like it to be like basically a paste. Like it's so ripe that it's just like you just spread it on there. And it was just firm enough for me to like second guess my breakfast choice. So the idea of an underripe banana just makes me feel violently ill. Like that shit's so gross. That's probably accurate. Do you think she put the underripe banana in a smoothie or do you think she just
I think she just bit down on it.
She's raw dog. Oh no.
I pushed myself out. I didn't mean to.
Oh no.
I couldn't picture it. I started to and my brain was like, no, we're not doing that.
No, I didn't mean of course that's what you thought I meant, because that's what
No, I just meant biting into a banana.
That's what I meant too. And I was like, wait, so you weren't going there the first time, and then when I said, oh shit, I didn't even see what I did there, you weren't going there that time either?
I knew what you were saying. I knew what you were getting at.
You weren't going there either of the times.
It's phallic. I knew what you meant, you know. I haven't had breakfast. Oh, I guess man. I guess I'm not a hottie because I haven't had breakfast yet. So
speaking of making sacrifices for the ones we love, some unlucky among us have to make sacrifices for the ones we no longer love, as is the case with Dr. Dre. His estranged wife, Nicole Young, says she needs $2 million. Dr. Evil Voice, $2 million in spousal support. Okay, and that's insane. Just objectively. But the breakdown of this, I'm going to read it to you, Tolliver, is chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Insane. Okay. All right. So here's, according to TMZ, here's the breakdown of the expenses. $10,000 a month for laundry and cleaning. That's almost the most likely one, I think, because if you pay your cleaning staff really, really well, like that seems like I could imagine that like $2,500 a week for cleaning staff, like for a rich person, that one didn't like blow my mind that much. $135,000 a month for clothes.
Okay.
$60,000 a month for education. I'm like, okay. Are you going back to school? And if so, what school costs $60,000 a month?
Oh, shit.
Entertainment. This is rich. Entertainment. $900,000 a month.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave that there. I don't have like a fucking sarcastic comment to put after that. She wants $1 million a month to entertain herself.
That's a lot of Ciroc.
It's a lot of Ciroc. Charitable contributions, $125,000 a month. She needs 10 times as much money for entertainment as she does for charity.
Yeah.
Again, going to leave that there. Her mortgage is $100,000 a month.
Okay.
Somehow.
Okay.
That seems like a lot. Far be it from me to question what rich people pay for their houses.
Absolutely.
If y'all's mortgages are actually $100,000 a month, it's time for the guillotine. That's all I have to say. And then this is my favorite. This is my absolute favorite. Okay, $20,000 a month for, quote, telephone, comma, cell phone. Those are two different things in 2020.
Sure. Landline.
Email. What are you buying the fucking super premium version of AOL? What do you need $20,000 a month for cell? Also, who has a separate telephone and cell phone in the year 20? You need 20 stacks for your fucking landline?
Yeah. Well, like the cleaning staff has to call each other in different rooms, right? So that's how that works out. She has to pay for all their college education.
I want to know, are you building a new cell phone tower every month? Like what?
She's an entrepreneur, baby.
In what universe do anything involving internet and cell phone come anywhere close to even $2,000 a month, let alone $20,000?
My bill is $70 a month.
That's okay, but my favorite, so 50 Cent commented, as he is wont to do, and this is what he said. Quote, this is a 50 Cent quote. This is not me saying these words.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, this is a retweet, not an endorsement.
I'm excited.
These bitches be crazy. How do you even ask for $2 million a month? # Branson Cognac, # Leche Mindroy.
Okay. He kind of undercut himself at the end, but
I don't know what the cognac has to do with anything.
Yeah, just like, all right.
Is he suggesting that she's spending that $950,000 or $900,000 a month in entertainment on cognac?
Maybe. I feel like it's just like his cognac. And he's like, just so you know, don't forget. Because I know this tweet is going to go viral or whatever. Right.
Big if true. Big if true. Yeah. I just love that 50 Cent in this year of our Lord 2020 started a tweet with "these bitches be crazy."
he's Teflon. That's, you know, amazing. You can't cancel 50.
I mean, this try. Particular bitch in particular do be crazy. I can't like fault him on that. This is an insane thing to ask for.
Okay, hold up though. I have a hot, terrible opinion. I saw it and I was like, this is insane, but I was also like, you know what? Dr. Dre is a billionaire. He can afford it. I'm not gonna trip. Like, if this ain't this, I mean, it's my business because it's really funny and weird. But I'm also like, get it, girl.
I mean, I'm sure he seems like a hellish person to be married to.
God.
So by no stretch do I want to say that she has not earned this $2 million. If she just said,
that's what I'm kind of saying. Yeah.
Here's what I would respect. I would respect if she said, "I was married to you. It was hell. I deserve $2 million a month for the rest of my life for that." I would be like, I see absolutely no faults and no holes in this argument. That is like a fucking bulletproof argument. Yes, absolutely. You deserve $2 million. If you try and tell me you need $20,000 a month specifically for cell phone and email, I'm going to question that.
It's $19,000 for email, then just $1,000 for cell
phone. You know what you should have spent that $20,000 on? A lawyer who would give you a more realistic breakdown of how you're going to spend this $2 million. I would have said, I'm going to give $1 million of it to charity. And my mortgage is actually $800,000 a month. And the rest of it is none of your business.
I would like to know what the charities are.
Right?
I need to know.
And why they only get $100K when she has $1.9 million more dollars a month to spend.
It's the Nicole Young Foundation. It just goes right back to her.
It's the Nicole Young Foundation for underprivileged Nicole Youngs.
It's very inspiring, actually.
Honestly, get it. Nothing brings me, as much as I'm clowning this woman, nothing brings me more happiness than watching women milk men for literally all they're worth. Because because that's feminism, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah. I don't get to say, but I was excited for
that.
That
doesn't come with your bisexual privilege.
It doesn't, sadly. We applied, but we were denied.
So you didn't get the deluxe edition bisexual privilege? You just I'm not paying standard for the issue?
Yeah. No, I'm not paying for the upgrade, no. I don't have $2 million a month.
I mean, if you were a better feminist, you would. Because that's how that works.
Wow.
You know what? I don't even know where to go from here. We just redefined feminism, like... disclaimer, I don't actually think that. Please,
you're welcome, everyone.
Don't hold me on this shit, okay? Okay,
it's a quote. I wrote
also,
it down.
The heat is making me delirious. Mm-hmm. It's like 95 degrees in my apartment.
I don't know why I decided to shower after the podcast, but I regret it.
Wait, wouldn't that make more sense?
Oh, you're right. I'm just right now, with it being so hot and me being so sweaty, all I can think, I'm not thinking logically, I'm just like, I wish I wasn't like this, you know?
But anyway,
I was like, I wish I didn't feel this way.
I mean, 2020 in a nutshell, am I right?
Hey.
That's it. I have nothing more to give. We should just call it and then do this again next week.
Let's absolutely do this again next week. Shout out to 50 Cent and his cognac. I hope they have a wonderful marriage together.
Shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks winning the next 4 games in a row, according to Tolliver.
Yeah, I'm just a dreamer. I'm sorry.
Dream big, baby.
I'm still trying to be a successful musician.
LOL.
Coming back from down 3 in life.